chapter 1. Give you a second to get there. And we got some future choir members over here on. Brian, I told Brian, Danielle, they were out. We had all the sick people are out and some people dead. And Brian was speaking at a little church over here. The pastor, they didn't have a pastor for a while. And then we had, they got one, but the guy had to go out and do something out of town. And so asked Brian to come over and speak. So he said, you know, I'll probably be, they start a lot earlier. So he said, I'll be able to get back here for the service. I see they didn't. So he must have been long-winded this morning over there at the service today. So we'll ask him about it. He said that he was telling me, there's a guy that's in the church that he said he falls asleep just about every service. He just gets knocked slam out, you know. And I've had that, you know, I've seen that happen in place. I preached for some seniors up in Iron Gate, Clifton Forge area, about once every 6 months. And man, I was preaching up a storm one day, and the guy in the back, nobody else could see him because, you know, this guy was sitting in the back. I'm not lying. He was sitting there. He had his head straight back, and his mouth was wide open, just like that, and one knocked out. And I was trying to keep from laughing while I was preaching. You know, here comes Brian, so he wasn't too long with it. So anyway, he was telling me about that, and so I gave him a joke. I don't know if he used it this morning. I said, you know, tell him about this story right here. So now he's going to come. He get to hear it again. But said there was a fella in the church that always fell asleep. And the pastor told the deacon, he said, listen, I want you to get a stick. And when you see the guy fall asleep, I want you to smack him on top of the head with the stick. So, you know, like usual, the guy fell asleep. And that Sunday deacon went over there and he smacked him pretty good on top of the head, you know. And the guy kind of perked up for a minute, rubbed his head. And just a few minutes later, preaching, you know, the guy fell asleep again. So the deacon went over there and, you know, he hit him a little bit harder. Whack, gave him a pretty good lick on the head, man. And the guy rubbed his head and sat there and, you know, a few minutes later, preaching got going, man, the guy fell asleep. This time, I mean, the deacon just nails him, man. Boom, man, knocks the guy slam out in the floor. Man, he kind of shook his head. He said, hit me again. I can still hear him preaching. Oh, man. So I told Ryan to tell that one when he got over there this morning. So hopefully, Stanley, you got your stick? Okay, he's ready. Deacon, Stanley's a deacon. He's ready right there. In Acts chapter 1, I got three or four verses I want you to look at. And the Bible says in Acts 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, this is talking about Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in verse 8 it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then in verse 12, same chapter, it says, when they then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and thank you for the singing and beautiful weather, and Lord, those that were just able to be here, Lord, we're not sick. We're thankful for that. Lord, we're looking to you to speak to us today, make your presence known to us today. We just pray that you speak to each heart, might be one or more here that's never called on your name for forgiveness of their sins, that they could be saved. We pray today will be that day they do. Lord, encourage us. Lord, we all in different places in our life. Lord, some discouraged, some indifferent, some cold. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, help us to have a fire started in our hearts. Lord, have a love for you that surpasses all other loves. Lord, that you could use us in a mighty way, start a revival right here. Lord, we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled the message, You Can't Make This Up. I didn't, later on this morning I looked at it and I had a subtitle for it and I didn't get with Eileen to put it on there, but put this in parentheses, preparing for God. And, you know, we see in our text, we have a promise by Jesus himself of the sending of the Holy Spirit, or the filling of the Holy Spirit of believers. The Holy Spirit yet hadn't been given to the church. And he promised, he gave him a promise about that. And in verse 12 down through 14, we see the believers, and really more than believers. I sometimes the word believer, we use it in a loose kind of a term, but I'm talking about committed followers of Jesus. We see them that they were waiting on the Holy Spirit of God. They had met together, and they realized, or maybe they didn't know what we should know today, that without the Holy Spirit of God, we can do nothing for God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, the word, there's different translations for the word. Paraclete is one, and that means a comforter or helper, an advocate or counselor, one who is called alongside to help. And the Holy Spirit of God, this is the thing about this, and I understand it more and more and more the longer I go along in Christian ministry. The Holy Spirit of God is who, it's a he, a person, does the transforming in our lives. Man, I mean, this is what makes the change in our life. Listen, it's not because we professed in Jesus Christ. It's not because of our baptism. It's not because of our church membership. It's not even because that we do good deeds. And we have a lot of that in churches today. We've got all those things right there, but we don't have as much of the transformed lives in Christianity or in churches today that we should have. It's the Holy Spirit of God that transforms our life. I mean, we ought to join the church, and we ought to study the Word of God, and we ought to read the Bible, and you know, all those things. But the transformation takes place as God works in the life of the believer. And that's a genuine conversion. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit enlightens us. This is the thing. You never had anybody say this, or maybe you've said this. You know, preacher, I just can't understand all those things in the Bible. I just don't understand what's in the Bible. Well, usually, you start questioning them. Number one, they don't read the Bible. That would be a prerequisite. You got to read it to understand it, right? But we can't. This is a deep book. I mean, there's some superficial things we can read and understand that. But it's the Holy Spirit of God. As when we're saved, when a person genuinely saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, and we read the Word of God, it's God that teaches you. See, it's not, I'm teaching you, or I'm telling you, but you know what? One of you will get it, and the other one say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because God's revealing that into the heart of a believer. It's enlightenment, it's called. It's enlightened. We have a phrase, you know, it finally dawned on me, you know that phrase right there? But it's the Holy Spirit of God that will cause the dawn to take place. We have the Holy Spirit of God enables us to accomplish God's will. Listen, I mean, you cannot live a Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit of God. You can't do it. You don't have the power in yourself to do it. And accomplish the impossible. I tell you what, we got the I can'ts in churches today. Man, every time I hear something, you know, you talk about, I just can't. Well, get saved and you can't. Because when you get saved and you get the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, you know, your I can'ts will turn to the I can's, because now we can do the impossible things that God is asking to do. God doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not going to enable us to do. God's the one that does that, man. He enables us, and so we can accomplish the impossible. We can overcome our fears. Boy, I'm telling you what, I don't know whether we ought to have a church or a chicken coop. God's people are more chicken than any group of people than I've ever seen. Boy, we get a buck, buck, buck. We get in there, you know, we can't do anything. We're so afraid of everything that's out there under the sun. Listen, we can overcome our fears. We can be witnesses. Boy, everybody's brave till they got to tell somebody about Jesus. Man, they fold up like a cheap lawn chair, shaking in their boots, look like the Tin Man or the Scarecrow or whatever on Wizard of Oz. Just shaking a cowardly lion, I guess would be a better one. Well, we're just afraid of anything. Listen, but it's the Holy Spirit of God and gives us boldness and enables us to do what God would have us to do. The Bible says that we're light. We're supposed to be the light of the world. The Bible says that we're supposed to be salt. Salt's a preservative. We're preserving the Word of God. We're preserving righteousness, those things there in a corrupt world. And the Bible tells us that we're to be a channel of blessing to other people. You know, we can't do it in our own strength. We don't have the ability. As a matter of fact, you won't even have the desire to do those things without the Holy Spirit of God being in control of our life. You know, the Bible says that this is the evidence here. Maybe I said this a couple weeks ago in one of the lessons, classes or something. But people say, well, how do I know if I'm saved? Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God produces in a human being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I was looking at that's the fruit of the Spirit. See, so you have it in your life, but how's it doing? You know, is it growing? Is that something that's growing? Is your love growing? Is your joy, which is different than happiness, is that growing? Peace, which is something, a deep internal thing, long-suffering, which has to do with patience, gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. How is that going in your life? And you know, I thought about this. Most of those things, and probably even all of those things, they really are contrary to our normal human nature. You ever notice that? They're just against our normal human nature. What happens is when the Holy Spirit of God fills us, as I say, the cure for all what ails us as a church, the cure for all what ails us as Christians, when the Holy Spirit of God fills us, you know, you don't say, well, you know what, I'm gonna start loving more. I'm just going to have more joy. Huh? Everybody just get again. I'm going to have more joy, and I'm going to have peace. You know, how do you get? I'm going to have a peace class. We're going to go to Peace 101, right? Well, I'm taking this class, Pastor, on peace, so I can have more peace. You never heard of it, have you? Because it's not. You can't have it. It doesn't happen. You can't do it. We got things on. We know what the Bible says about love. That doesn't mean the Bible says love your enemies. Knowing what it says and doing it is two different things. And you can't do it without the Holy Spirit of God. Having joy, a deep-seated joy in the midst of all the trials of life. You can't. It's against nature to have joy when you're being burned at the stake. It's against nature to have joy when you're like the three Hebrew children in the midst of the fiery furnace. That's against our nature. We can't do it. Man, Paul and Silas were in a dungeon at the bottom of the jail, locked up in the dark and with the cockroaches and the rats and all the everything that runs downhill and all of that. They were down there and they were singing. It was against human nature. You can't do it. Why did they sing? Because they had the Holy Spirit of God in their hearts, man. I mean, everything went against human nature. Patience, I'm the world's worst, man. I always say I'm not a doctor because I don't have any patience, right? But God produces patience. I'm learning how to do that. Goodness, faith. Listen, that's a transformation of our life, and it's not done by doing anything other than letting God, allowing God to control us. That's a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, to be filled with the Spirit, that phrase is used 10 times just in the book of Acts. 10 times to be filled with the Spirit, and that it means this, because we're not having another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit of God's been given to the church. We're not having that, but it means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, because you know God didn't make puppets, huh? God's not going to make us love Him. God's not going to make you do. He's not going to make you go against your will. God gave us a will, and we have the ability to allow God to work in our life and want, you know, desire that. And so, you know, it means to be controlled. Whatever fills your life, you're controlled by that. You ever been around real angry people? They just mad all the time. You ever been around people like that? They're Baptists. Huh? You get pretty much. Huh? Yeah, they're Baptists. You know, you ever been around people like that? They're just angry all the time. You're afraid to talk to them. They're always angry about something. Always mad about something. Because if you are filled with anger, you are controlled by anger. How many of you lost your temper? Huh? We ever lost our temper? How many of you tore something up that you wish you hadn't tore up while you were mad and you tore something up later on? That means you were controlled by your anger. You know, and so if you're filled with anger, you're controlled by that. If you are filled with grief, we've all been filled with grief at times. We are controlled by our grief. And a lot of people, the world is full of people here in this category, they are filled with fear. And when you're filled with fear, you're controlled by fear. And fear does a lot of things. We've preached on this before, talked about this before. Fear does a lot of different things. Usually it immobilizes where we can't do anything. Old Dracula movie, right? Dracula's coming. The girl goes, ah, ah. And she just stands there, right? And here comes Dracula. And, you know, you're watching the movie. You're thinking, hey, listen, why don't you run? You know, like I always said, I might get bit. It won't be in the neck, right? Because I'm going to be going out. They're going to be back there, right? But that's a reality. Sometimes fear does. It wouldn't in that case for me. But sometimes fear does You know, you get stopped. How many of you ever been around a rattlesnake? You ever been around a rattlesnake? You get around one. How many of you ever heard one rattling and you couldn't see it? You ever get around one rattling and you can't see it? I'm going to tell you what you do. You froze. You don't want to move, see? That's what fear does to you. And it does it in all kind of areas. We're just afraid to make a decision because it might be the wrong one. Not if the Holy Spirit of God's leading you to make a decision, you shouldn't be afraid because He's going to lead you in the right way, right? So you understand this. This isn't nothing new. Whatever fills you, that controls you. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we're gonna be have a victory over those things and being controlled by God Himself. These Christians, when we look at them in Acts and verse 12 down, they spent 10 days in prayer, preparing, and they didn't even know what we know. They spent 10 days in prayer preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Man, how important is being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? How important is that? You can't do anything for God apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. As I said a minute ago, you can't live a Christian life apart from allowing it, because listen, if God's not in control, you're in control, or Satan is in control, or both. Amen. How many of us made mistakes? And there's some deep theological thoughts about this. You know, we've talked about this, debated it, and you can go around and around and around. You can't prove me wrong, I can't prove you wrong. Some people say because of our sinful nature that we just could never live a perfect life. But on the other hand, the Bible, God says, be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. That's a possibility, right? To be filled with the Spirit. If we were constantly filled with the Spirit and always led by the Spirit, would you sin? Not if you're always led by the Spirit, no. But when you sin, you're not led by the Spirit, so there's those moments. Is it a possibility? Some people say no. Some people say yeah. You know, you can go round and round about it. We have a possibility to be filled with the Spirit. That's a command from God. Be ye filled with the Spirit. He didn't say sometime, part of the time, you know, just on Sunday morning when you get to the amen section of the church. He just said be filled with the Spirit all the time. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, and then we have the ability to do what's right. God always leads us in the right way. I like that. I like that. So there's some food for thought for you to ponder later on while you're chewing over your cheeseburger or whatever you're going to do. You can't get the victory over anything apart from being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can't do more than live a defeated, discouraged, disgusted life apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about the saved people. I'm talking about the saved people. Because see, there's so much more to Christianity than just getting saved. So many people think that, boy, I'm just going to get saved and, woo, finally arrived, that's it, I'm done. No, you're not done, you're just getting started. When you get saved, listen, that's the beginning. And now God said, listen, when it's the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God is a permanent possession, but we still grieve Him, quench Him, don't let Him have all of our life, got little rooms we kind of hold off limits. And man, listen, you're going to fail and stumble and fumble and live a defeated Christian. You're saved, yeah, but are you living a victorious Christian life? No, you can't do it when you're holding back from God. So I want to talk to you about that. More than being saved, it's being controlled by God in His Spirit. The first point, God moves in. The title of the message, you know, you can't make this up. See, and this is where this comes into play. We like to manufacture everything. You know, we want to generate. We want to do. You know, so like today we're having a church service, right? And I'm just going to try to manufacture some moving of God. Can't do it. I can't make it. I can't make it up. I'm going to act like I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm going to act like, boy, I'm a real super filled spirit filled person. I'm going to be the best Christian ever was. So I'm going to get my Halloween costume out that says good Christian person. This is him. I'm going to put my suit on. Still can't make it, because you can be right in here and get mad about something, right? You can be controlled with anger, right? Huh? You can't do it. You can't fake it. This is the whole thing. And you know, the devil counterfeits everything that God does, or he attacks everything that God does. But you know what? He cannot counterfeit the filling of the Spirit. He can't do that. God worked it out where he couldn't do it. And so, you know, we're not supposed to be manufacturers. Anyway, we're supposed to be receivers. We can't manufacture that spiritual life. We can't manufacture a desire to reflect Christ. A desire. We can't manufacture a desire. You know, I always like to use the spinach illustration. How many of you like spinach? How many of you don't like it? Is anybody that likes it going to be able to convince you to like it? No. I've tried it every slimy way you can eat it, and I don't like it, and it won't go down. It just won't. And you cannot explain to me why you like it. And I can't explain to you really why I just don't. I just don't. I can't manufacture that. Yeah, well, I really love that spinach. You know, like if I go to your house for lunch or something, dinner or something, and you got a big old bowl of spinach. Trust me, I'm not going to say, woo-wee, spinach, mouth watering. You know, I'm not going to manufacture a desire for it because literally it won't go down my throat. It's down there halfway. It's coming back. Huh? So I don't even try. There's some stuff I don't like. I can eat it. Spinach didn't want up. Huh? It didn't want up. It won't go down. So I can't manufacture that. It's got to be real. It's real or it's not. And you take the fruit of the Spirit. I just went over that. You can't manufacture that. A desire for God. How do you as a Christian make somebody want to just love God? Man, I mean, where they're shouting hallelujah every time you're preaching, man, there's every serviceman stomping around saying, preacher, man, bless God, I'm going out soul winning, and I'm not going to be satisfied till I get 100. And man, I want to serve God. I want to praise God. I'm going to shout amen to the top of my lung. How can I get somebody to do it? Pay them, right? How do you get somebody to do it? You can't. You either got it or you don't, right? You got it or you don't. I mean, it's either a real thing. You can't manufacture that. A desire for God's Word, man. Listen, how do you get it? You know, we spend so many times, like, we get on people. I know people, they get up Sunday morning, man, they run down the mailbox, get the Sunday paper, and they come in there, man, and I used to do it, and I'd flip the sports page out, man, and they got to read that and read the funny papers and all that, and we're going to go down to church and get something out of God, and you ask them, have you read your Bible? Oh, well, no, I didn't read that. Well, how come you had a desire to read the paper and you didn't have a desire to read the Word of God? Huh? I mean, man, listen, this is it. We get all over Facebook, but we don't get in Facebook. Right? We get on Facebook, we got everybody, preacher, I just don't have time to teach the kids. I just don't have time to do nothing for God. And then you hear them in their conversation. Oh yeah, I was on Facebook the other day and I saw where so-and-so was going out with so-and-so and they did this and that and the other thing, and then this other person was on there. Oh, you got time to sit on Facebook all day, but you ain't got time to serve God. Huh, that's really what you're saying, right? Huh? That's what happened. That's what they do, man. Or I just hear a preacher, I just can't read my Bible. But you go over to the house and they got them little harlequin novels all stacked up on the desk right there about all these love affairs and all this going on. I ain't got time to read that garbage. Don't have time to read the Word of God, right? Huh? Yeah. And you know why? See, because I can say, okay, don't spend as much time on Facebook. Spend that much time in reading the Bible. Don't read them old trashy harlequin novels. Read the Word of God. All right, I done told you, right? But I can't make you do it. Because you got to have a desire. Amen. Filled with the Spirit of God. Well, what if I don't have it? Well, when you have a prayer request, when you get done with kidneys, livers, hangnails, broke bones, sniffles and sneezes and all that, how about asking God, God, fill me with your Spirit? How about asking God for it? It's never on the prayer request. It's never on there. How about asking God for that? It'll make a difference in your life. Say, God, listen, I don't have it, I want it. They say, preacher, why don't you pray about eating spinach? Because that's okay, because it don't matter. You know, life and death don't hang on me eating spinach. Huh? That's why, right there, listen, man, listen, you know what, being a good Christian and a servant of God and representing Christ and reflecting Christ in this world that's dying and going to hell, don't depend on me eating spinach. If it did, I'd pray to God, let me eat spinach. Huh? I would. Thankfully, he doesn't require it. It's got to come from God. God has to open our eyes. God has to direct our lives. God has to empower our lives. If you either got it or you don't. They prayed. They said they waited for 10 days. Listen, do churches have prayer meetings? Not very many. Not very many of them. We do. We do have prayer meetings. But you know what? Here's the thing. You know why churches don't have prayer meetings? Because people won't go to them. Yeah, we say that we believe in the power of prayer. But the majority at most of churches that have them, the majority doesn't come today. Because they think, you know, and I know, listen, I can hurt it all. I can read your mind. I can read it. Well, you know, preacher, don't got to be in church to pray. No, but how's it working out for you not being at church praying? Huh? How's that panning out? Huh? Yeah, well, you know what? I get in there and listen to the Word of God and get in corporate prayer, corporate worship, and we're going to listen. He said where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. So if you're not here, God's here and you're not. How about that? God's here, listen, and you're not. It's got to, we say we think about it, but we really don't. And this is the truth. I don't know all this is the truth. We really don't believe in the power of prayer like we should. I mean, you believe power of prayer? Oh, yeah. Well, then how come we just aren't praying? We got loved ones lost, sick. We got problems in our lives, problems in our marriages, problems with our kids, problems with our bosses. Man, we got problems with the knuckleheads in Washington. We got problems with the atheists out there that wants to take care. Prayer meeting? I'm not interested. I'm not interested in that. If we really believe it, why are we really praying like that? Listen, boy, if we really believe that our spiritual lives depend upon the control, that filling of the Holy Spirit, man, our prayer meetings would be packed out. Packed out. I love that Burlington Revival, talking to the people that went to that. Man, they were flocking there every single night. Every single night, no hotels in sight. You couldn't get a hotel. Jammed up. The place was packed out more than what it would hold. Why? There's people, there was something there they wanted to get a hold of. It finally dawned on somebody. It finally dawned on a group of people that that God is there and there's something more to my Christian life than I'm experiencing, and I see it right now and I want that. But they're not seeing it everywhere. They're not seeing it in the church. Listen, man, you go to try to talk to somebody about Jesus, man, I'm telling you what, there ought to be a light in your eye. Man, I mean, just beamed up where they say, man, boy, when you start talking about that, you just beamed up. I just can't believe, you know, you really lit up. Man. Oh, you know, we just, it's dead and dried up. And, you know, there's no attractiveness to that, I guess is what I want to say. God's got to empower our lives. And they prayed and they believed it, man. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit were taken out of the world, most of what the church is doing today would go right on and nobody would know the difference. Nobody would know the difference. He said, ye shall, in verse 8, ye shall, that's a definite, not a maybe, a perhaps, a might. It's a you shall receive power. That word is dunamis. It means, that's the word we get used to get dynamite. It means, man, it's like it's powerful. Well, when they prayed over in the book of Acts later on, I like when they had a prayer meeting, it said the whole place shook. Man, huh? That gets some shouting out of everybody, wouldn't it? Man, you get up there praying, boy, and the power of the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden the whole building just kind of rocked one time. Woo, boy. Woo. Amen. Huh? We get excited, boy, but the altars would be filled up, people thinking they're going to die and God's coming back, and they're not say. Huh? They would. They would fill up. That's what happened in the book of Acts. You can't function effectively without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unifies people. Boy, God's people need that more than anything, right? It unifies God's people. It assures the people of God that they are saved. I know I'm saved because the Holy Spirit tells me I'm saved. It gives access. He gives access to the Father, worship, fellowship, prayer, intercedes, teaches us the Word. Look here, and just over one little, in Acts chapter 9, I'll read this verse to you. You can turn there, you can just listen to what I'm going to say. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says this. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Were multiplied. You know, there's a lot of books. There's a ton of books out there and stuff on the internet, on the market. It's man-made ideas about how to improve attendance. You know, church growth books, they're all over. You go down to the bookstore, they got a whole section on it. Church growth, and pastors get them. Boy, I got to see how, you know, we're going to give away bicycles and we're going to give away ice cream. We're going to do all these other things right there. Listen, God wrote the book, the church growth book, and here it is, right here. It's the Word of God. You know, we already got a church growth book right there. He said that when they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. Right there, it happened. There's an attractiveness that goes on with that. God wrote that. Listen, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the fear of the Lord. Man, I'm only on point number two. I got to hurry up. We had God coming in, and then we have God going out. We receive the blessing of God to be a channel for the blessing of God to go out to others. And the Bible says that we're a light, and we're supposed to be a light, and we're supposed to be salt. And we're living in a world that needs that. But here's the thing, we're not to just take in. Hoard it. We're to give it out. We're supposed to be a river, not a reservoir. You know, it goes that way. Power to be witnesses. That's why people say, well, you know, I just can't get filled with the Holy Spirit. It cures it all. You don't even have to have a class. These guys didn't go to Bible college. These guys didn't go to some soul winning 101 class somewhere. They got filled with, as a matter of fact, there was guys that Jesus said, look, don't tell nobody about it. They couldn't keep their mouth shut. They ran and told everybody about it. Shame on them for being disobedient, but a lot of people got saved because of it. And I said, you know, that you can't stop it. It's just something that's real. It's something that's within. If we're controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, where would the Holy Spirit lead us? To what purpose would He lead us? I got it all alliterated. Witnesses, worshipers, warriors, as in prayer warriors, and workers. Listen, you couldn't help it. You'd be all of them. You'd be a witness. You'd be a worshiper. You'd be a prayer warrior. You'd be a worker. There wouldn't be acts that we randomly and selectively engage in, but a lifestyle that we consistently live. It's not like, oh, you know, we used to do a regular Thursday night soul winning, you know. It wouldn't be just like this, just okay, I'm going to be a soul winner because it's Thursday night soul winning. No, it's just, it would be constant, consistent. You couldn't help it. Feet walking in God's will, hands doing God's work, face shining in God's glory. And then the third point, which is the last one, God moving ahead. Let me ask you this question here. Put your thinking cap on. I know I've been a little bit longer, but what's your life's focus? What's your life's focus? Back in Acts chapter 1:8, He said what? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you for this purpose right here. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, where we're at now. So the church has been given a commission to be on a mission. And we're moving ahead in the direction that God leads. Looking ahead, moving ahead. What's your life's focus? The whole focus of your life. What is it? You know, we get stagnant. The church has become a stagnant. And somebody said, you know, well, we're a conservative Baptist church. No, actually, we're a preservative Baptist church. We got in a preservation state instead of the conservative state. We've done passed that up. You know, we're not doing anything. Listen, you know, we've gotten cold and dead and indifferent, not doing anything for God. We're getting rusty, dusty, moldy, those type things right there. We've kind of done like that servant in the Bible that Jesus spoke about, where his master gave him a couple tablets, and instead of taking them out and investing those things, he took the talents and he buried them in the sand, right? Because he was worried the master would come back and he wouldn't have anything. That's what we've done. We've done what it took what God has given us and just buried it. Listen, we're living in a dark world and it's getting darker every day. Some people say, well, you know, boy, I wish it was the good old days. Somebody said about the good old days is a combination of a bad memory and a good imagination, right? Listen, there hadn't been no good old days. It's always been bad. Now, the world's always been bad. But God hasn't changed. That's the thing. He's still the same power walking today. We don't have to settle for the dull. We're settlers. There's an advertisement. I think I said that. Use this illustration one other time. Had that advertisement on TV about cable or something. It said, oh, well, we're settlers. We just settle for less than what you could have. That's what we do as Christians. We just settle for less. We just settle for the satisfied, everything's going okay, routine thing. And we don't have to do that. We don't have to have, you know, be get that dull, limp, routine, mundane, whatever you want to call it. And we don't have to limp and gripe and complain our way through our Christian life either. You know, God does some things suddenly. I'm on the end here. God does some things suddenly in the Bible. You know what? One thing's going to happen suddenly. He's going to come back suddenly. It's just going to be a sudden. All of a sudden, boom. What are you going to be doing? There's a good one. When He sent the Holy Spirit to the church, it was all of a sudden. It said it was a sound as a mighty rushing wind, just boom, just like that. There was the Holy Spirit, boom, fell on everybody. Suddenly, it was just all of a sudden. They heard something. It said they felt something. They saw something. When Saul was going on the Damascus Road to persecute the church, he's riding down the road. Boy, Jesus showed up all of a sudden. Boom, man, he was thrown to the ground. He was blinded. It was suddenly, instantly. It happened. He did something suddenly. Paul and Silas were down in there singing. I was talking about them a little while ago. They're down in the earth singing in the dungeon, right? All of a sudden, boom, an earthquake. Boom! Just like that. I mean, boom! Everything opened up, the walls fell in. Instantly, suddenly, God showed up suddenly. See, we don't have to be so set in our routine that we're not ready or looking for God to break through suddenly somehow. Let me ask you, are you moving ahead by faith? Or are you just in a comfortable situation, unwilling to change? Listen, God's moving. There's a movement and all over, I'm going to tell you. We talked about the revival in Burlington. That's just one thing. I talk to pastors and people and Christians all over the place and all over. Everybody senses this. The people that are in tune, the people that are reading their Bibles, and the people that are at the prayer meetings, and the people that are watching, and they got discernment, they all say this, that God's moving. God's starting to move, and we're on the verge of something. God's going to do something. You know, God's going to do something. We're on the verge of it. Everybody that's in tune with God says the same thing. Everybody that I talk to in different places, not just in one area, they say, you know what? God's on the verge of doing something. I can feel it. I know God's going to do something. Sometimes he does things suddenly. The Spirit glorifies Jesus, and so does the Spirit-filled believer glorifies Jesus. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. God spoke to your heart this morning. You need to come to the altar for whatever reason you need to do that. Hey, you know, you say, well, you know what? I'm not. I know I'm saved. I may be here. I know I'm saved. But you know what? I can confess that I haven't let God have everything of my life. I might be able to do that. Maybe you just need to come down to the altar this morning and say, God, you know, I want you to deal with me on that. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're not sure about your salvation. Said, you know what? I'm not just sure about it. I mean, I've been in church. I'm like me. I grew up in church all my life. I still didn't get saved. I was up in about 31 years old because I just never heard that I needed to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come into life. Maybe that's you. You know, we're not saved by our good works. We don't have any. Huh? You showing up at church, that doesn't mean anything. It's where your heart's at, where your head's at. You have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. You know it without a shadow of a doubt. Then let Him have control of your life. If He's not there, He can be there. You just have to ask Jesus to come into your life today. If that's what you need to do, you get my attention.